Well, take your Bible and turn to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 13. And I can't give you the page number on the old Schofield because I left the old Schofield on the couch. 183. He's got it right there. But in Numbers chapter 13, let me read the first two verses. And of course, I'm sure if you raised in a church and gone up to Sunday school, I remember you probably remember this story. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel, of every tribe, of every fathers, of their fathers, shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do pray that you'll be with those. We pray that you'll be with Keith's sister at this time. We pray that you'll be with them and be with her. Pray that you'll be also with Elizabeth. And Elizabeth hasn't been feeling well either. And Beverly as well, Lord. We just pray that you'll be with us as we look into thy word. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this, the unbelief robs us of blessings. In verses 1 to 16, the spies are sent in. In verse 17 to 25, the spies commission. And then in verse 26 to 33, the spies report. Let me say this first. We must be sure that we're following the will of God as we step out by faith. Often folks are confused and are following the will of man and not God. But without doubt, God has promised them the land. That's one thing right here. As you read that first verse, God has promised it to them. And really, many people think that they should have gone ahead in and taken the land, but they didn't. He would give them the land, and all they had to do was to step out by faith and possess it. Also, second, many of the hymns picture Canaan as a picture of heaven. But really and truly, it's not a picture of heaven. Because when they went into the promised land, they were still living this life. It really is the picture of you and I today as a Christian. As we go on in our faith, we trusted Christ as our Savior and go on in our faith. He has a will for each one of us in our lives. But we must claim by faith and to step out and follow Him and what He would have us to do. But let us learn as a church and individual believers to walk by faith and not by sight, trusting the word of God and the will of God, that we not miss the blessings of God. And of course, sometimes, we confuse the opportunities of God as obstacles. But you know, as God is training them, and God has already promised that land. But notice, as I read those first two verses, the spies are sent out. Now, whose idea was this to send them out? If you only read our text, you would think it was God's idea. But this reminds us of 2 Peter 1, verse 20 to 21, and 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, to compare Scripture with Scripture. In Deuteronomy 1, 19, and let me read verses 1 and verse 19 to 23. And this really comes from the view and tells more about it. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. And the Lord, and as the Lord God of our fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land and bring the word again, by what way we must go up, and unto what cities we come shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took men of you, one of every tribe. Now, when they went in to investigate, if they just looked and saw what God had said about it, the promises would be wonderful. But what they did when they went in, they began to look at it between man's eyes instead of God's eyes. Because as they stepped in, God had already told them to take the land. You know, in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 106:15, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. You know, when you think of that, you know, there's sometimes that God will let us have our own will. And sometimes he'll let you have your own will, but, you know, it comes around biting you. Because sometimes what we want and what God wants are two different things. And really and truly, I think, and many think, that they should have gone in and taken the land, but they didn't. Now, the spies were not needed if they had believed God and trusted his promise to give them the land over and over. And they have seen over and over how God has given them victory. Egypt, the Amalekites, and kept his promise of Deuteronomy 1, verse 29 to 33. How we forget the past deliverance and lead to unbelief, where it should lead us to faith, knowing what God has done. Asking for spies showed their lack of faith in God's promise. The same conditions were there when the younger generation obeyed God. And of course, as we'll see as we go on, after they went in, they took the land. Now notice verse 3. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness to Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Now the spies are sent in. These were younger men, and of course, who could tolerate 40 days investigating this. Once again, I'm not going to show my ignorance. I probably already have this morning, of trying to name and give all the names of these other 10 folks. But as you read their names, you see them in verses 4 through 15. But I wonder how they felt as they entered back into the wilderness, knowing what they had missed out on after they turned down the offer that God had for this. In just a few minutes, we'll see that. Two names stand out. Hoshea, who is Joshua, the son of Nun, of the tribe of Ephraim, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of the tribe of Judah. Now, he's a fellow, as you go further and further in this, that you'll see, and of course, as you see when they take the land, this man is of great age, but he's still ready, even after his age he is. He's in the older generation, but he'll be one of the two, Joshua the other one, of the older generation that will go in, and this man, he's ready to take his part of the possession God has given them. The 10 that we will see in their unbelief are pictures of believers who receive God's salvation, but they never go on to accomplish God's will for their life. And you know, that's true. God has given each one of us a gift, an ability to serve the Lord. And of course, we just kind of, well, I'm saved and I'm on my way. But you know, God wants to do more. And he wants us to do more and to serve him and to try to reach others too. While Joshua and Caleb are picture of believers today who walk by faith, trusting the will of God and the word of God. And, of course, today we have the Spirit of God within us, too, to help us. Now, I don't know about you, but I think at one time when I stand before him, I hope I hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and not other words. Now, notice verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Now, the name change. Moses changed the name of Hoshea, which means salvation, to Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. Joshua in the Hebrew is the same as Jesus in the Greek. And Jesus is salvation of Jehovah. The thought the thought came to me, as Jesus is salvation, Jehovah, the only way of salvation, Joshua, will be the one that God will call to be the one to lead them on after Moses' death as he takes the lead. Now notice, secondly, the spies' commission here. Notice verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up unto the mountain. You know, as we know the outcome, instead of sending in spies, they lacked the faith of God. They should have been going in to possess the land. In verses 18 through 20, you see the land and the people. They're very strong, and they looked at themselves as being weak. They saw that there was wood, and there was many things, the fruit, as they bring back grapes that were in the land. I tried to find some map showing their travel, but Warren Worsby tells us this. For 40 days, they took the trip, traveling about 500 miles, spying out the land. As one has said, surveying the land for a military point of view may be proper, for from the spiritual point of view, it's not. God has already given them land. Faith and trust, what is needed, and to the Lord, He already knows the land. Now, He had already promised to go before them and to scatter their enemies. Now, in verses 21 to 24, we see their travel, and they saw the fruit of the land, verse 22. They came to Hebron, where the patriarchs of Israel were buried, and it should have reminded them the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I might say also of Joseph. Those bones, and of course Joseph's bones, as we said before, if you remember when they first started out, Joseph had left word that he wanted them. He believed God, and he knew God was going to deliver him from Egypt one day. And of course, he said, take my bones with you. And they had the bones of Joseph with them. They all believed God. Why can't they? These men that were the founders. Reminds us of Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Speaks of faith. Now look at verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Now they returned back to Moses and the people. They did not have pictures that they could take. You know, today we got the phones that we can take pictures of. And, you know, it's kind of like when I went down and Keith met us down at the hospital there in the down below where we parked my truck, and I took a picture of where it was at. And you know how long my truck is. I was really wondering if we was going to get in and out of that, and I think the Lord worked it out, though, because Keith had to go back up and do something with his brother there, but the Lord had the people next to us that they moved the car right before he got back, so we got out of there. But anyway, they didn't have a camera to take a picture and have them to remember. But we are not told, but looking at a message of 10 unbelieving spies in the next section, I wonder what kind of a talk was really between the 12 as they were coming back to the people, of what they were going to say. God was watching over them, for we are not told of any of the people of the land spotting them. For surely they would have tried to stop them. Now notice, thirdly, we see the spies' report. Notice verse 26 and 27. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, and said, We came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it was flowing with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Now that's what God has already told him, what it was all about. God knew what was on the other side. But notice, we'll see the ten, they didn't have the faith. They came to the people, You got the idea of the report to come. The land is just as God has said. It wasn't the land God has given us, though as they look at it, they're looking at it, they're going to have to do it themselves. It was a land flowing with milk and honey, just as God had said, good pasture land for cattle, and honey good for vegetables, for the bees to pollinate the crops, just as the Lord had told them, but they failed to take God's word by faith and had to walk by sight. You know how often we do that too, isn't it? You know, we study the Word of God and you see that a promise in the Word of God that you know He's talking to all, and we say, well, maybe, but we never step out. Notice verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, he saw the children of Anak there. Now, nevertheless, the word used, and I guess you could in English say, but. How often we may say to God, well, this, this, and this, but then say, oh, but. The first mistake, not taking God at his word and possessing the land. Then seeing it, and it was as God had said, but the obstacles, that's what they're looking at. Their lack of faith will cause them to miss the opportunity because they see the obstacle, the circumstance, but the faith sees the Lord and his promises. And you know, we've seen that already as they've seen all the obstacles they've come up against. You think of even just leaving Egypt and what God did to deliver them from that. It wasn't them. God was doing it. Remember Peter. I always think about this. Remember Peter when he walked on the water. And remember he said, Lord, can I come out? And of course, there's two fellows I know that walked on water and they didn't have a motorboat in front pulling them. And that was Peter and the Lord Jesus. But you know, Peter, evidently the same thing as he began to get his eyes off the Lord and he began to look at the waves and the effect of the storm. And of course, he began to sink. And you know, that's how we do so often. That's the same thing they did. You know, God had told them the truth, but they didn't follow up. And of course, the children of Anak, verse 33, they were giants. They were big people. How often we see the command of the Lord in the great commission of the Lord to win the lost and to bring them into fellowship into the local church and to teach them the word of God. Yet we see the obstacles, and we fail to see the opportunities and the promises of the Lord. In Matthew 28, verse 18, where he gives the great commission, he says, all power is given to me. That's Jesus. He's got all power. And I am with you always. No matter where we go, he's with us. He's given us the Holy Spirit of God that's within us. In verse 29, where the different people occupied the land, I believe without doubt, as the people of God, we are to be sure that we are stepping out in God's will. But when we know the truth and we step out, we need to go forward. God is going to deliver us. As usual, not always, but most of the time, as God moves, he moves not only in the heart here of Moses, but he also is moving in the heart of Joshua and Caleb, who know that God can deliver them. Let me give you this. Dr. McGee, in his commentary, I think it was Dr. McGee that I was reading, he said, first of all, about a committee. You know, if you're in a church, and you're in a large church, and we're not that big, we got our committee right here, don't we? But a lot of times they have committee meetings, deacon meetings and trustee meetings and all of that that they have. And as one has said, Dr. McGee, and it's true when committees is not trusting the Lord. A committee is a group of people who individually can do nothing and collectively declare nothing can be done. What we see here, there's doubt turns to unbelief, which produces confusion, fear, and rebellion against God's will. The word is the promise. Notice verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. as I mentioned about Caleb, you get a little later when they get into the land with the younger generation. He was an old man, but I think he was pushing and following the Lord as much as maybe more than any of the others. A man with faith in God. This man and his statement is borne out in Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? As well as Psalm 37, verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He is one who remembered all that the Lord had told them. And, of course, he was ready to step out, and Joshua was ready to go with him, of course. He will keep his promise of giving them the land if they would step forward and possess it. You know, when we think of Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, I know I keep going back to that verse. For it is God who worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, when we know the will of God, he's going to give us the will of God, and it's from studying the Word of God and also yielding to the Spirit of God. When we know the will of God, that we know it, but then it also, that verse says, to do it. And I think as we step out, following God's will, he's there to empower us that we can accomplish the will of God and go forward. As you go on in the study, when the younger generation goes into the promised land, as this old man, his faith will still be strong. Caleb is a man that he's just a man in the Old Testament. And of course, we have some in the New Testament, and we have some of those like Paul and the other apostles. As we will see, there are three, Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, who are ready to believe the Lord and to go on, ready to go in. They're not living by sight, but they're living by faith, by the Word of God. You know, as the old song goes, trust and obey. But thank goodness for believers like Caleb, with the faith to step out, knowing the will of God and ready to accomplish it. Now look at verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now, just like Paul, Peter, when he was looking at Jesus, he could walk on the water, but he got his sight off and began to look at the circumstance. Now, I will say one thing, be sure you're in the will of God as you step out. But you know, if you know for sure that God is going to lead and he's leading as he is here, you can step out. Now notice verse 31. Well, once again, I just read it. But the man that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They're looking at the people, not God. We are not able. This is a truthful statement if you're going to in the flesh alone. But when you're going by God's promises, that's a different story. As stated before, their belief was only in the obstacle. And for Caleb's faith was in God and the opportunity before him. And you know, it reminds us in Hebrews 3 and 4, the believers today failing to claim the inheritance that we have in Christ. We all probably have been in business meetings. And of course, where something is brought up to do, and then there are those that are for it and those against it. And you know, here we see God's behind it, but the vast majority rejected it. Verse 32 and 33. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants. And we were in their sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. You know, that's the problem. You know, they weren't viewing it through God's eyes. They were viewing it through their own eyes. They looked like grasshoppers next to these giants. But of course, God's behind it. And you think of all of these, what these people have gone through already. We are grasshoppers in the sight. Their doubt turned to unbelief, which produced confusion, fear, and rebellion against God and his promise. The unbelieving will robbed them of the blessings of God. Now, what can we see God reveals in his, what can we see in this to, in our life? The opportunities to accomplish the will of God and his blessing are our obstacles because of our unbelief and trust in God. As one has said, we are continually faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as insolvable problems. It is also true in the spiritual walk of the Christian. God allows tests in our life today, and he is there with Israel. He's allowed tests. Once again, as Warren Wiersbe says, a faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. And God tests our faith to help us make sure it's genuine. As I have said before, I believe that we need to be sure that we're in the will of God. But you know you're in the will of God, and of course these folks had the promise of God, and of course you don't step out, you're not looking to God to help. But when we know clearly as it is God's will, it is time to step out. When doubt attacks us, let us remember how God kept his word in the past, and of course in our own life too. You know how often, and I know in my own life, I feel guilty of it sometimes. You go through something, and of course, God takes you through it. And then we forget the next time it comes up, and we begin to fret. And of course, once again, Philippians 2:13, it is God who worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, God is working in us his will through the word of God, through the Spirit of God that is within us, as well as also as we see the open doors. And as I've always said, the Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. And if it's something that's contrary to the Word of God, God's not leading you to do it. Well, God's leading these folks to do it. And of course, also, the fact is the open door. If the open door, you see, oh, God had to open that door. But if it's something you're going to do that's contrary to the Scripture, I can guarantee you it's not God's will. You know, we ought to test it. But once we know it's God's will, to know the will, and then that verse brings out the fact to do it. I think as we step out, he's there to do it through us. And that's what he wants to do with the people. As today, in the Great Commission, Jesus says he has all power, and he is with us always. And you know, as we go forth, that he's there with us. And he'll empower us and help us. And you know, as we think of the Great Commission, that's really what he's given us to do today. And of course, as we step out, we make ourselves available and be dependable, he'll use us. But let us step out to accomplish his will and commands, and he will empower us and accomplish it through us. But you know, as we come to a close, and I know those that are here profess to know Christ as their Savior, but I always feel the need of sharing the gospel as the message goes over the internet too. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Friend, we'll never stand before the Lord and say, oh, I'm good enough. No, we're sinners. There's not a one of us. There's only three that were without sin: the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's only one of those three that could be the Savior. And of course, Jesus was the one to be the Savior. He and he alone. So if you're thinking you're going to work your way, I don't care what you're giving or what you're saying or what you're doing in a church, whatever it may be, friend, you never work your way to heaven. But, you know, there's a way. God saw the need, and he sent his Son. John 3:16, we often call it the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That word believe means to trust, to rely upon, realizing, I can't save myself, Lord, but I'm putting my whole faith in what Jesus did on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. As he paid the debt, made the way possible, changed my life, come in and save me. He'll save you, and he'll change your life. And, of course, as believers, maybe we're out of the will of God. And, of course, 1 John 1:9 speaks of that. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You don't lose your salvation, but you lose that close fellowship. It's when we acknowledge that fact and to confess it and to turn from it and to renew once again, to get back up, but when we stumble and fall. Let's bow our head just for a minute if you're here, and Maybe God's speaking to your heart about something. It may have nothing to do with what we're talking about here, but if I can help you and pray with you, I'd love to do that. Or just right now, just for a few moments, and then we'll have one to pray.